grain of rice. A grain of rice. If you want to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
How are you all doing, folks? A little bit strange today. We have no leader. We'll have to send get well wishes to Anthony, who's just recuperating this moment. He had a small bit of a knockout, Marco.
A bit of a knockout.
So we want to send our best wishes to him. Everything's going to be fine. He just needs a couple of days. So myself and Marco have tried to put on his shoes and they don't work. So we're here today and we're going to wear one each, I think, right? One's too big and one's too small. We'll let you work that one out. But we're in the bowels of Páirc Cliath, and I am in the company of greatness, right sandwiched between two Cork greats. So we're delighted to be welcomed by Shani and Marco. And as I said from the outset, we're going to try and make a stab at looking after Delo's job. So best wishes, Delo. Anyway, we'll kick it off. Marco, let's kick straight to the point. You told me that Ole wouldn't be sacked.
Oh, Jesus, you're throwing in the dirty, mucky ball early, TJ. Fair play to you.
Tis in there early.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, sure, I suppose it got to a stage where they just couldn't take him any longer.
Yeah, yesterday's result probably just put the tin hat in the
middle. Look, you know, I suppose for a club like United, TJ, like, you know what I mean, a really big club, like, you know, a national club, like, or a international club, I suppose, we'd be looking for a new manager now, and just talks about Zidane, you know, whether he would take it or not, I don't know. But I think it's disappointing. Like, you know, I just, you know, for United, like, I'm laughing at Roy Keane for the last couple of months, and I'd be a big Keane fan now, to be fair. Jesus, the stick he's given the players is unreal, like, you know. And he, like myself, would have said, no way, Solskjaer wouldn't go, like, you know. And he also didn't make up the point. He said that the players would throw him under the bus at some stage, like, you know, and that's exactly what has happened. So I'm disappointed that he's gone, to be honest with you, because, you know, maybe the players just aren't good enough, like, you know, and that's, but
yeah, questionable,
it just proves that United, at the end of the day, they want success. And if you're not in the top three, that's it, out the door, good luck, no matter who you are or what. But I thought the fact that he was their own, you know, that he was a homebred coach, a manager, that he wouldn't get the bullet. But where does it leave Ferguson now? Because Ferguson would have been the person that would have been squarely behind him all along, like, you know. So just proves it.
Shani, you're on the same side of the fence as me, Liverpool man.
Gutted he's gone, TJ.
Couldn't have been more
Yeah.
I think every Liverpool supporter is the same way.
Yeah. Look, I suppose that's sport, that's the way it's gone. And I think we've touched on even the hurling and the GAA, it's kind of going that way, like, this teams expect success and want success.
I was actually, we're obviously doing the live stream of the county final in Cork, and I met one of the Gart lads that told me that Matty Murphy got the bullet in Gart, I think 2015. Now, he's back last year, and this year has gotten back to the semi-final this year, but he said, like, that there was a heave against them from the players in 2015. So just, It's kind of gone that way, hasn't it, really? Like, definitely. If the success doesn't follow, who did they shoot? Oh, the manager. Because it has to be the manager's wrong, like. Yeah. Like, when will the players put up their hands and say, like, maybe we are not committed half enough, maybe we're not doing enough training, maybe we're not minding ourselves off the field, like, you know? Always seems to be the gaffer that gets the bullet, like, you know?
Yeah. I suppose we'll cut to the chase, Sean. A huge weekend of action in Cork across 2 days, loads of finals. My first Little All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Little All-Ireland, Johnny. Where did that come from?
I suppose traditionally, TJ, it was a county final played after maybe Cork had won an All-Ireland, say. So Cork might have been All-Ireland champions from, you know, pick a year, 76, and a couple of weeks later then you might have had the county final coming on, or the county championship starting, or maybe mid-championship, sorry. So traditionally you'd have had a first, second round game played, then the summer championship would have happened in the county, so you could have fellas playing an All-Ireland final, and then 2 weeks later going in, or the week after, to play a quarter final, for instance. So I think it probably came from that, where Cork traditionally had been regularly contesting all of the finals. They went back to playing their county stuff, and it just came, I suppose, from that. I'm only surmising myself. I'm not exactly sure what the background is.
It is a little All-Ireland, like, you know, and 'tis In Cork, okay. That's the way we have it now. And she just was great that you made the, the trip down from Limerick today,
And I have to say, Mark, it didn't disappoint. Really well looked after by everybody. Two great games of hurling, two enjoyable games of hurling, played in the right manner and the right spirit.
Yeah.
Two good winners, and we'll touch on them in a sec. But overall, and in fairness, the facility here now, Marco, is...
It's fantastic.
I know you spent a few quid, but...
It is. Well, we spent a bit more than a few quid, and some of us... We found a few quid as well in a couple of accounts there recently,
but money well spent, no, you'd have to say.
It is, and I was actually talking off camera with Jock Cunningham today, like, you know, that this stadium is going to see us out, like, do you know what I mean? So, it's, in fairness to the board, when they made the decision to do the redevelopment of Parky Cueve, they made the right job of it, like, you know, and... all we need now is a couple of Ed Sheeran tickets and a couple of Gal Brook tickets for Croagh Park. So anyone out there who has access to the tickets, contact Dela.
Yeah. Okay. But I suppose anyway, we'll go to the main act first in the Glen and Middleton. Two teams rich in culture and history. Good final set up. And in fairness, overall, it didn't disappoint.
It was a good game, wasn't it? Yeah. In fairness, it was close. The Glen probably... Like, Middleton did all the hurling and you would say were deserved winners. In fairness, the Glen kind of showed a teakness, a toughness, and just kind of weathered the storm, hung in there, got a goal completely against the run of play. It might have been 15-6 or something at the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bang, it becomes from 9 to a 6-point game. They followed up with the next score and probably went in, was it at half-time? Was it 3-4?
16-1-9 at half-time. 16-1-9
4
giving themselves a good chance.
And then Middleton, did they start the half...
The third quarter was Glenn won, I think, 7 points to 4 and back to a point.
Then Middleton came again in the last quarter. So it was a game that ebbed and flowed. But at the same time, it just had a feeling that Middleton's name was on it all. Their name was on the trophy all day. Like, Leham was buzzing. Tommy O'Connell was playing excellent. Kiefer Smith was very, very good. And like, you just felt like Cormac Bazang and Luca Farrell, if they got enough ball, they'd open up. And as that second half went on, that's exactly what happened. But credit to the Glen, they're in there and were in the game right to the end.
Right to the end. And Mackie, for Middleton, there's 6 forwards scored from play. And when you're going into a county final or it's a championship game that needs to be won, you want your forwards. Like, and on the day, as a unit, they were impressive.
Yeah, they were, in fairness. And look, I suppose all the analysts would have said in advance of the match, TJ, that Conor Lehan, Carmel Bouzang, who's had a fantastic season, probably didn't have a brilliant final by his standards this year, and Luke Farrell, they were the 3 main forwards that were going to do the bulk of the scoring. But up pops Ross O'Regan with 4 points, Per White with 2 points, and Sean O'Mara with 2 points as well. Like, 8 points from play from the 3 boys. No, that's what you call a team effort, to be fair, like, you know. And that to me was probably the winning and the losing of the game, TJ, because those, like, Connor, once Connor turned up and played well, he was always going to get a lot of scores. And he got 5 points in play all in the first half, and I think he got about 7 or 8 points in frees. He was excellent right through, and you knew he was going to get that, the same as Patrick Hogan was always going to get maybe 1.7, 1.8, you know, that's what he was going to get at least. So, but when you pop up with those 3 kind of unheralded players and get 8 points between them, I thought that was a fantastic return from those lads, like, you know. But the overall game, you know, Midland looked like they were going to take off and go and win easy. Then the Glen got the goal, and Shawnee said, "Next one, jeez, the game is on again." And next one, last quarter, 1 point in it. So could the Glen get back into it? I suppose I had the first 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. The first Middleton got 3 points there. They pushed it out to 4 points, and they kind of always had that cushion then to kind of see them out to the line. Like, but you know, when the ball fell to Doris with the last puck of the game, and oh Jesus, doubling and away. Yeah. Like, would have been an amazing recovery from the Glen to get a result out of the game, but it could have happened.
Credit to them, Shani Conor Lahan.
Yeah.
13 points in the day, 5 from play, and I suppose that score that actually Ross O'Regan got when Conor just flicked it back over his head, and when you do those things, it's your day, isn't it?
Yeah, and you'll know as well as a Limerick man, TJ, even as a defender, I know you played everywhere, forwards, defence, midfield, you played everywhere, boy. Like, if you saw Lee Hand come in as well as a defender, like, on his day, that guy is exceptional. We had him a minor. We actually had him in 2010 as a minor. John Constantine was the manager. We played tip down here. It was a cracker. Went extra time, we beat him. And coming back after, we go for a point and a bit of crack and a bit of a chat. And even in the group, we were kind of saying, Leanne was kind of quiet tonight. He got 7 from play. Like, he's a scoring machine. He can still kind of go through games. And you like that night, no, we said, yeah, he was busy, he was okay. But he's a scoring machine. And like that, for me, is always kind of being part of his game, say. Like, some fellas are hard-working forwards, get their couple of scores. But on his daily, Hank can chalk up some massive scores. We played here in 2014, must have been where, yeah, a while ago. Yes. 4 from play. Second half to 2013, All-Ireland final, came out, goal straight away against Clare. Rocket of a goal. Like, his scoring averages are high. He's probably, even into county, in between that 3 or 4 point average. And for club stuff, I had a quick look. I did a bit of a money ball before the game, just to see how good this game be won and lost. Like, he's up to Patrick in that as a club goal-scoring forward. He's 20-odd goals scored in club championship stuff. Like. So he's an incredible player. Yes, he'd probably admit maybe lost his way a little bit. Did he, for me, no. Did he lose it enough to be dropped off a panel? I couldn't agree with that. But because I think he's just in that enigma-type player that if you get him right, he can do exceptional things. And I think Ben, maybe, just this year, has looked at other aspects of his play. I think what he did this year that I haven't seen before is he's thrown the ball around an awful lot more. Winning ball, and in the past maybe he was shooting on side. Today, he created a couple of scores by giving a pass and then looking for
plenty
the pass.
Assists too, like,
yeah. A lot of assists. Yeah, as you mentioned, even the over-the-head stuff, which led to Ross O'Regan. So his game has gone on to another little dimension. He's still only 29. He was a minor in 10, 18, and 29, 30 next year. I think there's plenty of life in that
for him. And for him personally, Johnny, like, with the disappointment of obviously being released from the panel, to go back and have that kind of a season with your club and captain Middleton to today, that's huge. Like.
It's huge. And like, some fellas get classed or tagged as being this and that, flaky. Like, even emotionally today, he nearly started crying in the speech on the field. Mm. You know, emotionally, I think it meant an awful lot. There was maybe a little bit of baggage or pent-up frustration, and it probably came out in his speech. So obviously he's someone that loves the game and feels for it, and I was delighted for him.
The one thing for me, Sean, is that when he came up and he did an interview about him on his art, was that I've never seen the man looking as fit in my life.
Yeah,
he was lean, his face was gaunt, and he would see the shoulders out through the jersey, like, you know. Yeah. I thought he looked really, really fit as well, like, you know. And I, like, you know, we would have discussed it in the pod already, TJ, like, whether he deserved a call back or whether he'd be a 20-minute man or a 15-minute. Look, I think that's a conversation for Kieran Kingston. Should have a conversation with him, like, you know.
And yeah, I think so. And even from the outside, you could argue, maybe, Shani, any given day, is he on the first 15, that's an argument that we could all have.
Yeah.
But I think, you see, on the first 30, I think that's a given, like, isn't it?
I think so. I suppose, what do? You, as a manager of Cork and a selection committee, you sit down, you look at what happened at minor under 21, who's coming up from minor is eligible, who played well for the 21s, and of course the club championship. Now, the club championship at times can be a tiny bit false, because some fellas have the ability to do great stuff in the club scene and struggle at the inter-county scene. But when you have a player that has, over a period of time, really excelled for Cork, maybe tapered off a little bit in the last year or two, but has excelled in massive games, and then has had a club championship like he's had, I definitely think he catapulted himself over the last couple of weeks, and particularly today, back into the frame.
Yeah, far is very good. And Mark, let's touch on Tommy O'Connell for a second. Kind of a new venture as such, maybe back into that centre-back position, but certainly been very impressive in the last couple of games, and no different today.
No, he was very good again today. No, he's continued his form, TJ, which is the big thing for me, and it's consistency of performance. If you're looking for inter-county fellas, you want to know they're consistent. And he has been really, really consistent. His striking is excellent. And you know what? He's a kind of a, what do you call him? A defender now? I don't know what you would call him yet. But what I did see from him all season is that he delivers a great quality ball into the forwards. And I thought he's toughened up a fair bit. He got a fair few belts today, and only got a fair few belts in the Black Rock game as well, because they're a very physical team. But when you're going into against inter-county in your own crowd, like, TJ, you're probably the most physical team around at the moment. So, like, if a fella if he's going to be good enough for the inter-county scene, he's got to be able to do it at club level, and he has done it now. And I'd be hoping that, you know, when Midland go out into the Munster campaign now, that they will give a good rattle in the Munster campaign, like, you know.
Yeah, they play Kilmallock away, which is, I believe, in the Gaelic Grounds, going to be on December the 12th.
Yeah.
But maybe before we touch on the Munster club, Shane, let's touch on the Glen, obviously, for the moment. Another disappointing day. Tough to lose 3 in a row.
Yeah, and I suppose over an 11-year period, TJ, like, we went through torture stuff, really. Like, we went from 89 to 2015 without winning a county. But we're always thereabouts, competitive in a way, got to a semi-final, and got to a final in 2010. So if you chart that 11-year window from 10 to 11, we've played in 7 county finals, which is a brilliant return. Made up of a backbone of Patrick Horgan, Conor Dorris, Kyle Hickey, Steve McDonald. So they've been stalwarts for the Glen over the last 11, 12 years. Like, to win 2 out of 7, you know, isn't a super return, but even just earlier, Colin was asking about how will the Glen regroup and how will they recover. They'll recover fine. What else can you do? You just got to dust yourself down and go again. Like say, at underage level outside, there's great work, Tony Wall and Mark Kennefic are doing incredible work at underage level. We won a minor county against Bright Rovers a couple of weeks ago. It was a brilliant final. And we've an under-18 competition coming up now, next week, against Blackrock, I think, is in that competition. And our 16s are playing. So, I suppose, no different to Gary's plan. Get to a certain stage, fellas are aging a bit, then you've got to look at the next generation, what our 18s like, what our 21s like. So, in fairness to the boys in the Den over the last decade, they've put massive effort in, massive emphasis on the underage stuff. So, I'd have no fear. You just dust yourself down and go again.
Yeah, and Hoggy very good again, in fairness. Limited supply, early doors.
Yeah.
But in fairness, he's dragging them back in. Unbelievable from place balls, gets a great goal.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, even from your point of view and the Glen's point of view, you'd imagine that second water break where you get it back to a point.
Yeah.
Simon Kennefic is in the game in a big way. You're probably feeling this is here.
Big time. Big time. And it's exactly what the Glen want. They want to battle, they want to fight. I mean, it couldn't have gone better for the Glen in some regards because Milton had all to play, coasting at 8 or 9. And then coming down the stretch, there's a point in it. You'd say, this is, you know, personally, I thought this is exactly where we want. Mm. And credit where credit is due. Fellas stood up then, mentioned them earlier. Farrell got himself into the game with a little point. He could have got a little goal and he checked himself, slipped it over. Bazan came into the game. And then Lehan again was accurate from his freeze. No, Middleton had a lot of wides. And if the Glen had levelled, they'd have only had themselves to blame because there's loads of examples where you would have said, go on, a fella was going on a solo run, he shot early, he shot on sight.
Well, the comment with anyone for me was just, you know, 3 points up, 62 minutes on the clock, open space, keep going. And listen, we know, like you saw him in the afterburners against the Rockies, against the fullback, once he got past Nadwell, he was gone, like, you know.
Yeah.
I just thought he should have, on Arbrook, I should say, I thought he should have just kept going. You know, and just tapped the ball over the bar. 4 points, game is over. Like, you know, it allowed the Glen that one opportunity that they did get. Like, you know,
they did get it, yeah, in fairness. And like, they had a great goal chance as well on 44 minutes. And you'd have to credit maybe Stephen McDonald.
Oh, unbelievable
interception, which definitely kept him in the game as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And like, you mean, Cahill Hickey made a great save as well.
Super save.
And I think that was the second half as well. There was a couple of goal opportunities.
With 4 points to two only in that last quarter, which was like, considering how high class a game it was probably low scoring enough.
Yeah.
You know, Middleton, they just probably looked like they were going to kick on. And in fairness to the Glen, just hung in there, but just on the day.
Yeah, I think to give credit to Middleton as well, say, there was a, you know, the Glen were starting to get a little bit out of the Middleton half back line, so I thought Luke Horgan was coming into the game a little bit. Mark Dooley started to win a few puck outs. But for a young lad, Kieran Smith, for his first year, is he still playing hard? Is he hard? Is he 18 years of age?
Yeah.
Just he turned it out with loads of ball.
Yeah.
Under ferocious pressure, that's Luke Deneen the same. So in fairness, while they had lost their way a little bit in attack and had some aimless strikes that ended up going wide, geez, I thought their defence totally turned into it, none more so than Tommy O'Connell.
Yeah.
And Tommy, as a fella that had been tagged as a bit of a loose kind of defender, I thought his defence today was really, really good. He was on different players. Dean Brosnan, who's taller than him, Luke went in on him for a while, Dooley went in.
Downey went up centre forward.
And Mark, let's talk about maybe Middleton's management team for a sec. Ger Fitzgerald, obviously, down as manager, and Ben O'Connor now winning another title, so coach.
Mm.
You would be predicting a nice future ahead for Ben.
I would.
Nice Brenda Hurling today.
Oh, yeah.
And a shy touchdown. Definitely getting the best of the land as well, which is a great sign of a coach if he's improving the player, improving the team. Such one to see.
So I suppose a couple of things for me, you know, they move Cormac Welsh out of the forwards back to the half-back line. Move Tommy O'Connell, known as a midfielder, stroke forward, back into the half-back line. Luke Deneen wasn't on the team last year, has become a pivotal player for them. Has marked the best player kind of in the opposition's team all along. You know, it was significant to think today that he was given the responsibility to mark Patrick Horgan, and the Glen set up with a two-man inside line. So now you're saying, Jesus, Luke going to be quick enough to mark Patrick Horgan. So I thought that Ben showed, and John Fitzgerald and the manager, and Terence McCarthy, to give him a mention now. Terence has been there for a long, long time with that Middleton team now, in fairness. I mean, it's a great testament to Terence.
Well, this just showed confidence in their defenders, didn't it?
Big time, yeah. But like, you know, I suppose, you know, Kiva Smith is his younger brother Shaney Smith, right? He'd have been involved in development squads, and as a tough one that the younger brother comes in and takes your position, maybe, or takes one of the positions in the backs. But I suppose overall, hats off to the Middleton management, but I suppose in particular, they went outside the club for the first time ever. That was a big decision for a club like Middleton to go outside and pick up an outside coach. And like Ben O'Connor has done a wonderful job, obviously. You know, the fact that you win a county and now following in the footsteps of his father, Burnley, before him, now having won a county, like, you know. So he got a very short spell last year, I suppose, with COVID and stuff like that. So there were question marks, like, you know, are the outside man and Ben and blah, blah, blah. But, like, they got their full season this year now, and he's delivered in spades. And whereby we would have seen him against Sars. They were poor that night, like, and but they toughed it out against Aaron's Own. I think that Aaron's Own game might have made them, because local derby, but they had to go for the full 60 minutes. They had to eke out the result, and the boys at Aaron's Own had Kieran Murphy sent off as well, like, so they would have been expected to win it, but it got tighter and tighter, so they eked it out, but they hurled outstanding against Blackrock. And I thought the first half today, 16 points, 14 from play, that's a massive performance from any team for half an hour. Mm-hmm. Question is now, can they add, you know, can they move that performance of the first half out for two halves, I suppose, is the big thing. They certainly were flat in the third quarter today, but, you know, still in the championship. They have 3 weeks now to a Munster semi-final. That's brilliant, because it gives them an opportunity to celebrate, enjoy the victory, because, you know, people probably don't enjoy them enough, but then mind themselves as well at the same time. But, like, it's hard work winning any championship, yeah, as you know.
We spoke before about the Mondays after a county final.
Brilliant day. Niall Maxwell will be lifting out. The club will be lifting tonight. But I said, Niall Maxwell will be getting a good call in tomorrow. So.
And Shani, a good championship in general. 13,500 plus here today, which is brilliant. Super atmosphere. Place looking great. Overall, good championship.
Yeah. And you know what?
Competitive,
TJ. Like, you go back 15 and 16 to Glenn, 17, 18, 19 in O'Kelly, Blackrock last year, and Middleton this year. So a couple of different teams. It's not you know, O'Kelly dominating for a while, but
it's not Ballygunnell, like.
No, it's starting to get around the county. And in general, TJ, going beyond the senior championship, the senior A game was good. The Premier game, I was at Ballinhassig and Castle Lines yesterday. Great game. Last night, Castle Martyr and Sars, great game. And even the junior game on Saturday, Ballygibbon.
Ballygibbon, super win.
Against Drumtariff was an excellent game. So in general, the campaign, you know, it's kind of culminating in a massive weekend. You've got the final in the Premier to meet it next week, which will be Castle Lions.
Corsi Rovers.
So in general, the championship was good. And then when you're looking at it as well, say, from a Cork perspective, kind of who maybe put themselves into the spotlight. So, you know, I thought young Kelly, is it? Mikey Kelly was decent. He might be a bit light. Yeah. He's a lovely little player for Castle Martyr.
Man of the match in the intermediate final earlier on this year as
Kelly,
well. Like,
he did, nice little player, boy. He's nice and busy. Yeah. Throws the ball around well. His frees were good last night. Today, Bazang was busy as well. He showed maturity. Do you know what? Maturity when a game isn't going for you, it's grand to go away and get 5 points. Yeah. You get a couple of early scores, you're buzzing. But I wasn't running for him, but he showed good maturity and played his way into the game. I love that about a forward as well. They can stay calm and get a few scores. So there's a few players, we mentioned them already, like Tommy O'Connell and these guys. So in general, a great championship culminated today in a bumper crowd and a great atmosphere.
Brilliant, yeah. And Matthew, we were treated to the underage teams in Cork, obviously the 20s and the minors, right, parading around the ground as well. That's, and right, they were showing off the trophy. So you'd have to say, even at schools level, Cork are really coming back to the fore. Those Hattie Cup teams have been very impressive over the last couple of years. So if we now look at maybe the club champions in Cork going on to the Munster club, that hasn't been where maybe Cork people would like it to be in recent times.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Like,
we're going back to 2009 to Newtown, maybe going back even to get a team before Newtown, right? And this is a competition that in the 70s that Cork would have harvested big time. So I suppose what would be the expectation or the hope, let's say, for Middleton now?
So I think the standard of club hurling is probably improving, is what I would say, in Cork. I suppose the fact that Imikili won 3 counties, TJ,
is
the beaten finalists, would go out into the Munster campaign. And I think a lot of the teams, when the divisional teams beat him in the final, probably didn't have the heart to go on because they had been beaten. And that probably...
It's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal, and it throws the stats out slightly. I think the fact that Cork got to an All-Ireland final this year, we are there, we're knocking on the door, and, you know, if I was doing anything, if I was Kevin O'Donovan or Mark Sheen, I'd be saying, right, Limerick are the best team around at the moment. they've built the team around the Keane Lynch's, the Sean Finns, right? That era of underage players that went on, last All-Ireland final, but went on to the under-21s afterwards. He managed to keep that group of players together. The big job for Cork now is, how do we keep the minors and the 220 teams together? How do we harvest the best there to put us in about 3 or 4 years' time that we are the team like Limerick? I'd be hoping that we are well placed now, but I think it's about, how do you utilise the assets that we have? And the assets are the players that were good enough to win minor under 20. That's the most important thing for me. I think the club is, I want to say, it's fixed. It's the format is brilliant now. And the split season is brilliant, because you now know your club player is going to, like, you can go to your club player now at the start of the season and say, lads, we're going to be training X, Y, and Z because we're going to be playing championship at A, B, and C. And you know exactly when you're playing. And I think that is a huge, that's huge for a club player, because the club player doesn't get the plaudits that the inter-county fella gets, doesn't get the media attention, all that kind of stuff. But now there's massive media attention around the club players, particularly in Cork, with the live streaming. And I would have to say, the examiners, we've covered it in the pod a good few times, the amount of paper and pictures and interviews that the club player is getting now is massive. And I think it's very exciting now for a club player in Cork right now.
Yeah, definitely. And Shani, in terms of maybe expectancy, or we say on the ground in Cork after being in Ireland, the youngsters, like, we know what they're, how good they are and what they can do. Like, looking at 2022, right, at the season we just had, what would be the general feeling in Cork?
I think there'd be a good buzz around. That's the reality. Cork have won under 20 and a minor championship. They won 2 under-20s, if you want to call it that, because of the whole carry on from last year. I think Cork public are excited by the type of player that's been produced now at underage. It's a mix of power and it's a mix of flair and class. You look at Ben O'Connor from the minors, powerful lad. Munster Academy and all that are looking at him. 6-foot-odd, centre-back, real Brian Cochran type player. Then you go to a Jack Leahy from Dungourney with the minors, full forward, tasty. Comes out, takes a great ball. Jack Allen, who's slight but has that, you know, nice kind of Cork dash, that old Leary up Watergrass Hill. So they can now see it, kind of a Cork player maybe coming that, you know, can maybe challenge that physicality that likes of yourselves have, you know? I mean, and that's what I liked about today's club championship, is that aerially there was probably more ball caught in a long, long time that I've seen. Leahan caught a good few balls, Mark Dooling caught a few balls, Dean Brosnan caught a few balls, and that has been a Achilles heel for a number of years. It goes way back to the Kilkenny time when Kilkenny were dominating, and again this year we struggled under that high ball. So the type of forward and defender that we're now producing from the underage ranks, and back to Mark's point, maybe with Kevin O'Donovan, Mark Sheehan, maybe the likes of the new system here now, TJ, is you do an under-16 Cork team and then you get the minors automatically. So then you get time to work with these guys. And Noel Furlong had that opportunity and now is a Cork senior selector. So some of those guys coming through, not only does he know them from a hurling perspective, but possibly from a personality point of view. What do they need now to be integrated into a setup where you have old and seasoned campaigners like, I suppose, Alan Cadigan maybe, Owen Cadigan, Patrick Hogan, who've been there for the last 10, 15 years. So even mentally, the likes of Furlong will get a feel for that as well. So I think that's to be applauded and commended as well. So I think in general, TJ, obviously the mood is going to be good. No, we're not fools either. Yeah. We were lacerated in an All-Ireland final. But we're not stupid. We know we've an awful lot of work to do. But with the underage stuff and a good club championship that's just happened, I think the feeling will be one of optimism.
Yeah, and Huggies had a super club campaign again. So there's definitely more in
Yeah, there. Absolutely. And look, you know, I suppose he was, I suppose, incorrectly sent off in the county quarter final, was it? And and that was rescinded afterwards, and video evidence was used in that situation. So, if Patrick has a love for the game that knows no bounds, to be honest.
He got one or two scores playing the first half. He's touched the first point play.
But his footwork.
Different gravy.
He got a point from playing the second half. Like, he was going to snap it and he realised that there was no one there and he took it on for another two or three steps and he steadied himself, knocked it over the bar. He's just, the skill levels and the tricks that man has is just phenomenal. Like, he's a joy to watch, to steal a paraphrase, like, you know. But he is a really, really good player. And, you know, everybody will say, like, you know, it'll be a travesty if he doesn't win an All-Ireland medal. But, you know, they're not giving out, like, they're hard earned, and
Well, just to us Kilmallock people listening, just the warning shots have been fired. The boys are confident in as well, just so you know, you better be ready.
We'll move along to the first game today, so the Senior A final. So
yeah,
even just a touch on the grades, like, I was probably doing a small bit of homework on Cork. There's so many clubs in Cork and so many grades. It's just a huge county.
269 clubs.
260 is nearly twice as much as nearly anybody else. So just a phenomenal county. So
we should be in an All-Ireland final in a couple of years, TJ,
But the Senior A thing, first of all, it's definitely working, and like, great prize for those clubs today to be able to play a final in the park before the main final.
Absolutely. So, like, there's a huge restructure has happened in Cork over the last couple of years. There's 60 hurling teams, and they're from Premier Senior, Senior A, Premier Intermediate, and Lower Grade Intermediate. So there's 12 in each group. There's a team relegated and a team promoted every year as well. So, there's talks of the last grade, the Lower Intermediate, that they're going to do away with it. I hope they don't do away with it. I'd be straight up with you, because we have more hurling clubs than football clubs. There's, I think, 4 grades in the football, 4-12, I'm certain, and saying. And so I think, like, the new format is going to be, they're looking at 16 at the bottom. I hope they don't do it. I'd be saying, Kevin, forget it. Leave it at 5-12s, right? Leave it at 5-12s. It's okay. What the footballers want to do, let them run their own championship. But from a hurling point of view, there's enough hurling clubs there to go to 5-12s, in my view.
So, Shani, Fad O'Neill's versus Kentorka. When I went out to the programme, I suppose from the outside, it looked like it was the Walshes against the Millericks. There was six Walshes on the squad for Kentorka and five Millericks. Are those all brothers of the Millericks?
The five brothers of the Millericks.
Which is incredible, But great game of hurling, and some unbelievable scores, especially goals scored in this game. And both teams went at it from the word go.
And kind of similar and dissimilar to the senior game. I mean, Kentorka were coasting in their game. No, the Glen kind of came into the senior game, but were still behind at half time, whereas Fad O'Neill got themselves a level in a game that people have said they were completely after, you know, blown it in the first quarter. In actual fact, it was a goal from Colin Walsh just before half time, actually drew a level.
That's right.
So Kentorka ended up chasing the game that they were miles ahead in. But in fairness, just to kind of name check, we had Colin at Minor in 2019, John Consheim was the manager. He got three goals today.
Three goals, still didn't get back in the match.
Who picked
that? Clowns out, sir.
Oh my god. That's hard to believe.
That was a phenomenal performance. And in fairness, I mean, outside the camp, people mightn't realise that Dickie Dalton was a Cork senior, and John Mellerick, when he came on midway through the first half, he's nursing a really serious leg injury. For them even to get to a final was an unbelievable achievement. And when you're there to win it. But down two really, really key players, your free taker and one of your real man-marking defenders in the county level was a great testament to the club, and fairness to them.
Yeah, Ger came on there after about 22 minutes. He got right hamstring very heavily strapped.
But can you mention what the goal was like? What about Killian Broderick's goal? Like, wasn't it some goal? Wasn't
unbelievable
it?
Goal.
Yeah, it was a top right-hand corner, it was brilliant, We had a great view of that now from the from our angle there.
I was going to touch on first, Delo, that Dickie Dalton, I actually saw him myself. He wasn't playing, and he did have his left leg in a boot, so Marco was right. They say that even a stopped clock is right twice a day. But on this occasion, he had his information right.
Great.
Just, I suppose, unfortunate for them that, let's say, Ger Melrick, who just got to play with Dickie Dalton, to miss out, to get to a Senior A final, and to miss it, it's a big hit.
But the killer for TJ for Fader O'Neill is that last year in the final, Ger Melrick and Daniel Harrington was missing their centre-back. So, and they were beaten by a point by Charleville last year, having led by 11 or 12 at half-time. Now, there was a hurricane there on the same day. But, like, to miss Dalton, and Liam O'Driscoll actually was another player that didn't play as well to them. He's a corner forward for them, and he's a good player now, to be fair. But look, it's heartbreaking, there's no doubt about it. But like, to lose two county finals now in Senior A, in a row, that's tough going for them. And go back to the All-Ireland 2020, they were beaten by Tullerone. Was that after extra time?
Yeah.
Do you know? So they've been brilliant. Their progress has been massive, in fairness to them now. And they have a massive panel of players and great goodwill in both the ladies' bridge and area. So I suppose they'll be really gutted tonight now, but they showed great balls to come back into the game, because Kentuck did all the hurling in the first 15 minutes of the game, 1-3-0 score up after 6 minutes, and we're leading by a goal and going into injury time in the first half. So But look,
just on the Ken Turk side, just to name check Larkhan and Aidan Walsh, two they're warriors brilliant. Really, like, in fairness, Larkhan has been a super player for Cork down through the years, and Aidan as well, for a fella as well, from time to time has received some stick from the Cork supporters. Obviously a great time for him. He got 4 or 5 points from
five points.
And Larkhan was all over the place.
Yeah.
I made a match just after the game, man of the match, I said, you're all right for an old fella, Larkhan, in fairness to you. Took it in good spirits. He had a fantastic game as well, yeah. So in fairness to the two boys, warriors for their club.
And as we said, a really consistent player for Cork down through the years, Larkhan.
Like TJ, say, we were slagging earlier about Sean O'Donnell and the stats and all that, and some fellas get a 4 out of 10 and a 10 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10, so there's an inconsistency in their play. Larkhan was always a 7-ish, maybe an 8 out of 10 player. He was the most consistent player I think I've seen that has played for Cork over the last, say, two decades. Right half back or midfield, he'll always put in a good shift. He'll always work hard. He'll always chip in with a score. And again today, from minute one right up to the end, he was still hunting and harrying for him, for an old fella. He was still hanging in there. So he's been a brilliant servant.
Are you coming back from the Glen next year?
The social, they have a social hurling thing here.
I did a lot of white in the second half, but just had a couple. Like, they definitely were the better team.
I have them down for I think 11 wides in this. And like, in fairness, O'Neill's led by 2 points, like, in the middle of that second half, like, and they looked like they were going to go on and win it, and the boys kept wide after wide after wide, but they got Liam O'Keefe got a point to settle them, and that from there and they started to get the scores, like, but you know, this will be one for the Know Your Sport. Who's the first Polish fella to win a senior A? My man in goal is Grantas Bukanas.
Yeah.
Okay. Filling the boots of Anthony Nash that's playing his trade down in Limerick now, TJ. So that was a big step forward for that man. And I'd say there'll be a lot of fellas get that one, that question wrong now in the future.
And a fellas in Krakow celebrating tonight.
And Joe Quaid actually has opened a pub down in Kenturk, and the boys told me that day he had the green and white flags for Kenturk out all year.
Good man, Joe. Limerick of Voo, huh?
There'll be good crack there tomorrow as well, yeah. But no, good win for them. And literally, so winning the senior A, they now play their trade.
Up in Premier Senior now next
year. They're a fine, big, strong team.
They're physically very big, and you know, they're lively, and they have a lovely brand of hurling. They have a lot of fellas coming off the shore on a regular basis. Now, they're a football club as well, TJ, and they're in the final, I think, of the football. I think could be next Premier Intermediate next weekend. So I suppose it's all hands on deck, but they are a very, very big team. I thought your man Ryan Walsh, he's a big man, he's plenty pace, he could be somebody that Kieran Kingston might look at, I think. Dan Brown and Liam O'Keefe, they were on development squads way back. Dan was involved with Cork for a couple of years as well. Very consistent, no, you know, very steady player is what I would say. I thought he played really, really well today, and you know, overall, I can remember Ken Tuck when they're playing Junior Hurling, like,
yeah.
And that's not so long ago. I know they're going to be playing Premier Senior next year.
Yeah.
What they have done over the last decade has been phenomenal. Their rise to success has been brilliant, I would have to say. And and part of that is their development as well. Is that Duhallow entered an under-21 Premier One team for about a decade.
Right.
And the likes of the Lock-Ons and the Aidan Walshes, they would have played, and if memory serves me right, I think they beat Bishopstown in an under-21A final 1 year. But they got to 2 or 3. They got to 2 or 3 under-21A final. So Duhallow as a division was allowed play in the Premier One under-21 hurling, and I think that had a big part to play with the promotion of the game down in Duhallow.
Yeah, and Shane, before we leave today, in terms of the refereeing, I thought, in fairness, both referees did a great job. They left a go in the main.
Yeah.
There was no whinging or looking for major freeze. It was just get on with it, like, which was good to see.
I agree, TJ. And I actually went to the Castlemartre Sars game last night, which is the Intermediate A final. Castlemartre won by a couple of points. Davy Copps to that from Ballyhale. It was the same type. Do you know what? For a while, the crowd were moaning about it, and then they just got on to it. And they think accepted it. And both, obviously, teams that were supporting their respective teams kind of got on with it. And the neutral, I think, was delighted to see it. Just let it go. Obviously, the crazy stuff has to be called, but some of the stuff that went into rocks, they left it develop, see what happened.
Right.
And you referenced it a few times, Mark, in the commentary. Like, sometimes, like, the hand went up, let the advantage ensue, see what happened, and then call it back, which has probably been the best rule change that's come into the game in the last couple of years.
It has. It's a great rule change, Shawnee. But, like, I feel for the referees when they're doing league matches with 20 or 30 people at the match, and the abuse they're getting from the sideline from mentors, I think is all wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, it becomes a free fest then, like, because the referee doesn't want any hassle. He doesn't want any grief going home and stuff like that. So I think mentors need to lay off the referees, to be honest about it. Like, you know, I wouldn't want to be a referee. I don't know, would you like to be referees? Do you know what I mean? But it's a thankless job. It's a tough job for them, like, and just mentors, lay off them. Like, let the game it's get on. Because the players in the main are playing the ball nearly all the time anyway.
Yeah.
It's just that the mentors start giving them grief and start turning them against teams,
yeah,
in my view.
To
like.
Be fair to the senior ref, Mark, like, I've played a bit of junior hurling the last couple of years, and Mark has been doing junior games. What I noticed about him, a bit like Dickie Muffin, aren't they can talk to you.
Yeah.
What was that for? And they'll say what it was for, and if you give them a bit of bad cheek, then they'll tell you to shut up.
Yeah.
And you know, get on I think it. Players prefer,
yeah,
that.
They do,
actually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but a word to Nathan Waller and to Mark Maher. Did you say it was Mark Maher's first senior final?
First senior final.
You'd have to say handle extremely.
Listen
well.
To me.
And got all the big calls.
Absolutely. Right. And there wasn't a geek, and there was a few.
One
in fairness, like some,
the 65,
and he went in, and
got
he no,
decision right.
He got the decision
right.
Which
one was he?
That everybody would look back at it afterwards and say, was the decision correct? It was. And there can be no argument then, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think.
Shani, one other thing before we were down pitch side, right? So we could see, I suppose, firsthand the managers and the Mayor Forna. The Mayor Forna role looks like as if he's going to be confined to the stands into the future.
Yeah.
I would be far letting him on the sideline with the manager. He's training the team every day. It's difficult for him to banish into the stand on match day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weird one. Because what I've noticed, TJ, is that the players kind of fear the manager and go to the Mayor Forna. They might feel that they confide in him. The Mayor Forna, they might see, even though he might have his fingerprints all over picking the team, but they might know that. And they'd never talk to him more than the manager.
Yeah.
And you know, some managers are great to manage, but the Mayor Forna might be actually implementing the game plan. And then the players are looking for some bit of guidance. He's going here, what am I meant to do? And it's a great thing for the manager to kind of turn to Mayor Forna and say, what do you think? So I think it has taken something. For definitely from that dynamic between players and management, the Mayor Forna for me has always been seen as the go-to man. So I think it's taken something from the game for sure.
I saw a tactics board on the field as well today at one stage, Mark. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Was it? Who was yours? Ken Tuck, was it?
Yeah, Frankie was it.
That must be the Limerick influence of
that
side.
Yeah. Mackie, before we move away from all things Cork, and I suppose we probably have to apologise to people, today is really all about the Little All Ireland. I'm not as good to say it as Dale can say it, Little All Ireland. But the other games that were played yesterday, you might just touch on them for a sec.
Yeah, so we had both Castlemartyr and Lisgoole both winning their respective championships. But a big and significant thing about both those teams is that they were both won counties previously this year. So Lisgoole won the junior county and Castlemartyr won the lower intermediate. They were both promoted into new grades and they both won the new grades, which is brilliant, I suppose, in some respects. Now, a lot of people will probably say that they were probably, you know, how come they made such a leap straight away? I think part of it is probably they were probably the best prepared teams because they were preparing for a county final 3 months ago that was unplayed from last year, and so they were up and running, and then they just continued on the run, like. So, but like Castlemartyr were convincing winners against Sarahs last night. Sarahs would have missed a couple of opportunities for goals, but Castlemartyr goalkeeper saved them. But like they have four or five players involved, the Lawtons, Young Joyce, you know, Mike Kelly that you mentioned earlier on. Four, they were all involved. Joe Stack was involved with McKillie. So they were playing senior hurling as well with McKillie this year. Joyce is a real player. He's the one for the future now. You know, you mentioned Ben O'Connor. It's great to see we have defenders coming as well, like, because we kind of always had forwards. The defence was probably one of the concerns, I would say, TJ, but Joyce and Ben O'Connor are two really, really good defenders that are on the way. Liz Gould won a great junior championship earlier on this year, and they have really good players. And John Cronin is probably the most recognised player on that team. He would have won three counties with Emmy Killey. He also would have been the player involved with the tangle with Patrick Horgan and with Emmy Killey in the quarterfinal of the championship this year. So and he was captain of Liz Gould as well. So they had a big win against Kilbritton as well now. So, I suppose the junior final was played as well yesterday. Belly Giblin.
Team they know well, yes.
Yeah, Belly Giblin involved, and Ronan Dewan, my buddy, and a fellow who's been hugely influential in the county board as well in terms of the structures and the format of the championship. Ronan was coaching Belly Giblin, so a big shout out for Ronan.
My sister lives in Belly Giblin, so yeah, our young fella plays a bit. He's in the underage scene there, so I know the goings on happening there. And I saw it on social media last night. Mark Keen actually struck a brilliant goal for Belly Giblin, which is obviously great to see him in the hurling fraternity.
Yeah, and was Dermot Lynch on the panel with
Belly Giblin? Dermot Lynch, 48, and he was out there just to mention. Not going away from the Little Isle Island now, but the 95 senior champions, the Pearshaig,
I see him in the field
and the 96 senior champions, Avondhu, were both presented to the crowd today. But Dermot Lynch, you're right, Johnny, he was cornerback on that Avondhu team in 96, 48 years of age, togged off yesterday with Belly Giblin and was talking to Ronan earlier on. Didn't play any of the championship matches, but played a good few challenge matches for the team this year. So fair play at 48 years of age to be still playing Johnny, you want to dust off that one, lad? Dust off the wooden spoon, you'll be back for the Glen next year.
So guys, I think that completes all things Cork for the weekend just gone. Brilliant weekend. There's one final left, Sean, is that right? The Premier Intermediate
Premier Intermediate next week. Courses and
Castlelines. That's a big match now. Castlelines were beaten in the county final last year by Blarney. Colin Spillane broke his finger in the first minute of the game, and the team seemed didn't handle it well, I would say, but it's great credit them back in the county final now this year. And they were very, I won't say they were lucky, they had a tight game against Ballinhassig over the weekend. And I'd say Ballinhassig were involved in football. If they weren't involved in football, I think the five county finals would have been played in the one weekend. Mm. Now that shows that the Cork County Board are doing their business right. Fixtures, they're set in stone, get on with the games, lads. And we'll have it all finished in the one weekend.
Like Sky Sports and it's Super Sunday.
Super Sunday.
Yeah. I suppose we're going to have to apologise to the rest of the country because we were all here engrossed in all things Cork. But just to touch on a couple of things, I know my old team, St. Thomas, has had a brilliant win in the semi-final over their neighbours, Gart, running out handy winners. I think it was 420 to 8 points in the finish. So great win for them. And now they go on to the final against Clarenbridge
next weekend.
So, yeah. Okay. So I think there's two finals.
Did you travel up to each?
I will, yeah, definitely.
You would have been the four in a row.
We'll go and see them. So they're going for four in a row, which is an incredible achievement. Yeah. So yeah, playing Clarenbridge in the final next week. And the Tipperary final is also on next week. And we just also heard today that Loughmore have the first piece of it started. So at least now they're heading into a week with a pep in their step. So after winning the football, replay to come against Hurless next week. Mm. And someone said about John McGrath.
Goal in injury time. Matthew Morrissey said he's seventh man of the match award in a row.
Hurling football.
That's some achievement.
Unbelievable.
Seven men in the match awards.
For a fella that kind of had a funny inter-county season,
he wasn't on the team.
He was kind of on the team.
Really well, we had him on the team, Johnny.
Right.
We would have picked him.
That was good. So the Tip County final and Galway finals, I believe, are on next week. And also from the pad, Ken Hogan had a brilliant win today. So St. Ryan is doing the three in a row. And again, the reports are this was drama. It was a very tight game. Really strong defence on both sides, and Ryan is getting a goal in injury time to win 111 to 12 points.
Oh, what a way to win it! That's,
so
that's good.
Three in a row for Ryan, which is fair going.
Brilliant for Ken, Ken.
Shania, we just spoke off air. I see some statements from the GAA last night about the coming season 2022. I think it's when we're going to see the first split season, where they're aiming to have hurling and football inter-county championships finished by the end of July. So the hurling final is fixed for the 17th of July, which is quite early.
Yeah, I mean, like, basically, I suppose, fellas, we'll finish off the season now. You've county finals going on next week. You'll have Munster club stuff. Like, it really is a 12-month season for fellas, like, isn't it? I mean, they'll finish in July. The club championships, I suppose, are now 1 month to be in November. Does that mean the club finals will come forward another bit? You might have a club final in October. You've got a downtime in November, and most teams then are back at it again in December. Like, it's going to be hard going.
Mm.
And I suppose what it does is, again, you know, just sorry for going back to the whole Cork thing, like, but when you see fellas like Patrick Horgan at 33, everyone says that the inter-county player, that you get to 29 or 30 and you're nearly washed out because the season is so long for you and there's so much stuff going on in the body and there's so much pressure on. But for a fella 33 going on 34 that's still as fit and as nimble as he is testament to his off-season stuff that he's doing even outside of the training ground. But it's good, TJ. Like, it'll be good. I just, like, I suppose we're getting away with murder as well at the moment. Like, how many November days do you know are as mild? No, I know it was cold, but are as dry as it was today.
Yeah,
like, you know, like the chances are Ireland, 9 times out of 10 today, would have been a wash with heavy rain, overcast, and a dour kind of affair. So the chances of, if you get a chance to bring it forward another bit, I think the club player will put his hand up and say, yes, at least there's a chance of playing a club final. I presume the dates will change in club scene as well, and the club final could be October. But certainly from an inter-county perspective, I remember going to Munster finals. You remember, I remember going to Munster finals. Searing heat, pressure cooker stuff. We could now have an All-Ireland final in the same type of atmosphere and weather conditions, because there's been loads of All-Ireland finals that have been played. We played in one that was piddling over the hills, isn't it? You know, God, I'm going today. It never rained as much.
Yeah. But anyway, one of the things that was thrown out there was that the split season might cause maybe a little bit of a dent in the inter-county, maybe the PR side of it, that because we were kind of coming back so far that in the months of August and September, that the game of hurling mightn't get the profile that it deserves nationally. But I think the club scene up and down the country in the games has proven that this split season, I think, will definitely work.
100%. I couldn't agree more, TJ. I think, like, the names now around the country, that like a Brian Moyle and say from the Glen that has never played for Cork, but fellas up in Tip in Limerick watching today will see him as a quality halfback. Mark has been saying it all the time, that the profile that the club fella will get going forward will be that little bit more, and they deserve every bit as much credit. I'm above doing our intermediate team. You've been doing so much in Thomas's and Gary Splann. We all know exactly what the club fella is putting in, and he deserves as much credit every way, professionally and everything. I need a sales rep, so I don't know how many sales you get from being able to not pick up the phone and say, hey, oh, I remember you, and they might say you're any good, and they kind of recognise your name. So it is great for the club fella to get well-deserved recognition. I can't see it both being a success. I just will be interested, this sounds weird, but just the weather, just to see an All-Ireland final on a searing hot July day, that could be a watering prospect.
Unbelievable, yeah. It's at 30 degrees.
Yeah, kind of stuff.
And Mark, the flip side of that would be, we could be looking at maybe the first round of the Munster Championship in April.
In April. It's very
early. That's different too, isn't it?
Well, totally different. But the only thing is that it puts a structure on a TJ, like, and you know, like, we have to protect the club player, because if you don't have a club player, you won't have your inter-county player.
Yeah.
It's like the Falls and the Yearlings and 2-year-olds, Fred and O'Brien, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless you have the Falls, you won't get into the 2-year-olds.
And it's a great kind of a vision for the club there, that, you know, going out there getting managers and getting coaches and getting your house in order. Like, maybe before, you were training in January, Shani, to try and maybe play 2 or 3 games in April. Then you were taking a break.
That's right.
There was people going to the States. There was coming back. It was nearly like kind of 2 or 3 seasons inside into one. Whereas now, you can really take your time here early doors, maybe get your S&C up and running.
Correct. Absolutely.
And you won't be playing Champions until August. And people can put a huge structure on it. So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's just the fact that you can give clarity to the players and they know exactly what's going on. That's the only question I'd ever have is, should the club scene be first and then the inter-county? I kind of feel over the year the club gets you up and running, gets it going, and then as the year goes on you're getting the better and better and the games are getting better and the higher standard is played. What I mean by that is that the inter-county is played at the end of the season, and if you're looking for a club player, then if he has a very good season, goes straight into the Cork panel. There's sometimes I don't know.
The only thing, Mark, is maybe the facilities available at the inter-county level when it comes to the S&C side, the way it's programmed and the type of conditioning that can be done, you have a better chance in a shorter period of time in inter-county to get up to the pitch. I think what's made the marketing of all these games, particularly the club scene, the way they've been so marketable, because the quality has been decent. And if the club scene comes first, you could have players that are maybe a little bit overweight or maybe not that fit, and as a spectacle, it's not as good. The later it goes on, the inter-county fella's coming back, the club fella's had a chance with league games and with a longer, maybe drawn-out S&C programme to look fitter and stronger. Whereas, look, we know from being involved in the setups, the available stuff now to the inter-county scene is off the wall. Between statisticians, dietitians, the weights and strength and conditioning. So with a heavy December and January, they're nearly fit by February versus the club player. That's just my thing.
And they've also said, Mark, that the pre-league tournaments are back in play. Like, so for management teams and maybe especially new management teams, there isn't going to be a huge amount of time here. Like if you take from today to July 17, Sean, isn't that far. So
you're getting straight into
things
it.
Things will be happening faster.
Absolutely,
like,
but I think Sean, you makes a valid point that there probably a lot of the inter-county players now, there isn't a whole pile of downtime, right? Okay, because certainly when I was playing, I'd say within a month of stopping, I'd be up a stone weight, like, and then you'd put it on very fast, and then it might take a 2 months or maybe 3 months to lose the poundage that you were putting on, like, you know. Says the greyhound, no, never put on a bit of weight, like, you know.
Stone.
Oh, lad, I said, was it,
you're was, to it be older.
Was it five? Was it 5 you were showing you? The skin test of the
minus,
yeah. But it's no, the demands on intercounty players now is ferocious, and they have to mind themselves. Like,
but Shani touched on it there. I suppose that balance of the successful club player who brings himself literally right the way through, let's say, a Munster club or a Leinster club campaign on towards an All-Ireland club, is nearly kind of, that's the other side of it, is running into each other. Like, there's no really much or two off here, like Shani's written.
No, and like, again, like, maybe generations, you know, mindsets change and all that, but some of the present Cork players say that I would tic-tac with or no or chat to, I get a sense that they almost don't want too much of a downtime. I think they revel in, like, certainly for me, the weights programme was a pain and hated it. But the modern player seems to love it and embrace it. They embrace the diet, they embrace sort of building the pecs up and getting the guns on, and it doesn't seem to bother them. Maybe no, maybe I'm wrong, but I just get a sense that they love being toned, they love being in shape, and then they've got the psychology thing. You know, Gary Keegan, that was involved with Cork. I know Carolyn Curran has done some serious work in Limerick, and they seem to have embraced what it means to be great, what it means to be one of the great players. And if it means it's all year round, then so be it. It's a short career.
I think, Mark, we would have taken serious Karen Currid or Keegan working. I'm not sure exactly what that would have gone down.
I can remember being in a dressing room one night, and John Allen was handing out these sheets, and a lot of it was about the mental thing. Like, and I just saying, I'll give it to somebody else. Like, you know, I mean, I'm my own.
I'm fine.
It's like psychologist, like, you know, but of course, you know, maybe to get that little bit more, to get over the line, and Ben O'Connor mentioned it in his interview afterwards, that they had a psychologist in, I don't know, I can't, I'm not sure of her name, but it's probably on the programme there, Jennifer Hayes is her name, and he said that they had one meeting with her, and the lads found it excellent, and she was kept on for the rest of the year, and he just made the point that, look, it might have been the difference between winning and losing, and every little bit that they could get, they would use it. So, you know, certainly I'd say a psychologist is a big part of most intercounty setups now. And
usually,
when
that happens now in a winning team, Shani, right, is that other teams tend to copy, right? So there'll be psychologists all over club teams in Cork.
There'll be a big budget now in every AGM going on, like, you know, with the manager, with the coach, with the selectors, and the psychologist.
Yeah. Do you remember before you kind of said, who's training the team for the coming year? You said, who's our psychologist? That would be interesting. Shani, another thing I wanted to touch on is, I just see some noise there recently about the under 17 grade, and I definitely see it maybe in football, and I see Pat McInerney having a pop last night about that he would like to see it returning to 18.
Yeah, I'd kind of endorse it as well, TJ. I think it's hard going for an 18-year-old to really come out and then say, you're basically available for adult hurling, say. I did our intermediate A's this year out in the Glen, and personally would have felt that, you know, it would have been better off the lads being classed as minors for under 18, and then when they come out at 19 years of age, you get to work with them. They were kind of lost a little bit, and some of them were nearly too good for junior and maybe just struggling a little bit to make the intermediate A team. And this year, there's no kind of, some of the divisions have decided in Cork not to have an under 20 competition, so some lads end up playing very, very little hurling this year. For me, I think it's better off letting him stay. And I know the thinking behind it was that, I think one of the thinkings behind it was that it was holding up competitions.
The adult grades.
When intercounty minor stuff was going on, maybe in a good 18-year-old. But, like, I don't want to sound disparaging to any club, but if your club is totally dependent on that 18-year-old to get you over the line in the club championship, then maybe there are other things at play.
Yeah.
I think I would prefer to go back, revert to type. They've got lots right. Two things I think they've got wrong, and I know Patrick had a big deal with it. I can't understand why they brought in the yellow ball. And I think they should have kept the minor right up to 18, and I would endorse a change.
Yeah, we take a really good player to come from maybe 17 to get onto his senior team, but you're going to be exceptionally good, like, so.
You would, but I suppose the exceptional fellas do make it, TJ, like, you know. I can remember
In the intercounty scene there, John would say before Munster Championship games, under 17 kind of lacks a bit of intensity sometimes. So would you prefer to see that maybe higher? 19?
I think there should be. Like, I think there should be an under 19 grade and an under 21 grade. You know, I think going from 17 to 20 is a 3-year gap. I think that's a big gap in my view. And I think a lot of players are lost from 18 years of age onwards as well, TJ. So for me, if they were bringing the grade down to 17, I think they should have a 19 and a 21. And that kind of goes to your point that if you didn't have
and,
an exceptional
and underage Cork, did you play under 17 and under 19, was it?
18.
We played, no,
well, there's an under 18 competition as well. So.
There is, but the main grades now are 13, 15, and 17.
Yeah.
Do you know, they are the main, but they have competitions of 16 and 18 as well.
This year in Limerick, we said we played 13, 15, 17, but we also have an under 19 and an under 21 championship.
We don't have an under 19. No.
Okay, we have that in Limerick. So the under 21 championship is to be finished and. Luckily enough, Gary's plan are going well, so watch this space. We'll be hoping to have a rattle off it. No pressure on the boys over the team, but they've been a good side so far.
Yeah, but the other point about part of bringing back to 17 in the minor grade was because the leaving cert was another part of that as well. When it was 18, there was a lot of leaving certs were doing exams, and there was a lot of complaints came in from parents that if you're playing minor, which you're into county team, that 18-year-olds were... Now, the funny thing is, kids have kind of changed that themselves because they're nearly 19 years of age when they're coming out of secondary school now. So that actually had fixed itself kind of automatically, like, you know.
And there's no fingers broken in Ireland anymore. In the shop. It's
just a study. TJ, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was involved with the minors a couple of years ago, and just 3 months off from championship, bang, they stopped coming training. Like, so what's that? What's happening? They just... gone, not training, that's it. They don't train in Cork anymore if they don't leave us up. So
that's how we're not winning our levels.
Yeah. I know you're looking at me. I know.
Yeah. Couple of other things, Mark, before we finish up. You were on about today, I suppose, the 20 euros to come in from the Cork County Board.
Yes.
And also, I'm not sure if it was you influenced this, but the front.
They were listening, by Joey Blake was listening. He's the filter. He's the filter.
They're listening to it. But you have to credit where credit is due at the same time.
Well, they were. Look, I've said it before and I say it again. You know, you're better off to be getting in 10,000 people at a tenner than fucking, 5,000 at 20 euros.
Yes.
That's the reality. It's the same money. 13,500 people paid into the county final this year. It's been the biggest crowd in years. What has contributed? A, the price. You got two quality matches for 20 euros. If they went to 25, they'd have been causing trouble, in my opinion. They priced it right at 20 euros. And the second thing is 1,000 people, frontline workers, which is a great gesture from the county board, I felt. And, you know, those 1,000 frontline workers have partners as well behind the scenes. So they probably came and bought a ticket. So, you know, you can get two people in for the cost of a tenner, like, you know, so between them. So I think, you know, where we'll always have a pop off the county board in some respects, give credit where credit is due in this situation. Now, there were two good decisions that were made. And I also thought, the three winning All-Ireland teams been presented to the crowd, the 95 team, the 96 team, everything went extremely well today, and I'd say the county board must be delighted tonight that the preparation, but I suppose as our old buddy Roy Keane would always say, like, you know, fail to prepare to fail. Yeah. So Kevin O'Donovan and his team had a job well done today.
Rest of the country, beware, Shani, they're right, yeah. Cork are doing everything right. So on a weekend where everything was all things red. Poor Ole got the road. Rachel rode a super winner on a
Pintar. Favour yesterday. For the Sheldon.
Favour for Sheldon the Gold Cup.
I was
wearing
now.
Red as well, yeah. Davy Russell rode the winner of the big race in Navan today. So, yeah.
It's all East Cork.
So, huge thank you to everybody in Cork for their hospitality today for me. Best wishes to Delo. We need him back soon. His shoes definitely didn't fit myself or Marco. We need you back, Delo. So hopefully you'll be back in the feed soon. Shani, thank you very much.
Thank you,
brilliant. Marco,
as always. Delighted to have you.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.